is the McDonald's Spiky Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web
from a padded room in his basement,
alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another exciting edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Coles. My name is Carl Knox. This is episode number 69, coach. Can you believe we've been doing it that long?
No, time flies, man. You're having fun.
I don't know about the fun part. This podcast is like a great novel. It's the best of times and the worst of times, all wrapped into one. The podcast presented by McDonald's, McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill and MacArthur. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Do need to discuss the owner of McDonald's, one Brad Munn. We'll get to that in a bit. Busy week.
Oh, yeah.
Both busy week last week and busy week this week.
Yeah, it's going to be this way, you know, from this here on out, about two games every week, it looks like. And, you know, hopefully the weather will cooperate. We were able to get in the game Friday that some people didn't.
Yeah.
So that's
just kind of surprised
staying ahead of the curve.
There was a lot more games canceled than what I anticipated.
Yeah, I think I didn't think there would be, but I didn't realize the temperatures were going to be that low on Friday. So I think that's what maybe scared some people off. But luckily with Jackson, Vinton County, it was a close trip, you know, easy trip. So we went ahead and got it in.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be talking about that game along with a good win this past Tuesday night. As you guys took care of two non-league teams in the past week, Chillicothe and, as you said, Jackson, to improve your record to 9-0, which is good.
Yeah.
It's always good when you win nine and you don't lose any.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. We've got an interesting guest that neither you or myself really know a lot about. We're going to be welcoming him in Matt Williamson. He is the head basketball men's coach at Hocking College. Now, when was it? Is this a second or third year?
I think this is the second year, if I'm not mistaken, for Hocking College basketball. I know they have a new facility or a remodeled facility. These are some of the questions we're going to have to ask Coach Williamson, but I know they've had football for, they might have had football for 1 year more than the other sports. I can't remember because they sort of started it.
Right.
I don't know whether they staggered that or not, but it's a junior college.
Now, what does junior college
mean?
Well,
I mean, basically, it's like you get a lot of kids who may even be like D1 talent, D2 talent, who maybe for whatever reason just aren't ready to go to that level academically sometimes, or
right,
you know, maybe just not ready to socially, whatever. I mean, and that junior college sort of prepares them for that. So a lot of kids go from junior college on to a higher scholarship school. So, and those are some of the questions we'll ask him. I don't know yet. I know their schedule at first, they were trying to, you know, obviously that's a challenge, kind of get your schedule together at first. I don't know how many JUCOs there are in Ohio, so, you know, I don't know what their scheduling's like.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting, because
yeah.
I'm not taking shots at Hocking College, I guess I'm so old that I remember when Hocking College, or wasn't Hocking College, it was Hocking Tech.
Yeah.
It was a very, very small rural technical school.
Right.
Obviously, they've grown and kind of evolved over the years, but that being said, when you were like, no, they get some D1 material that,
yeah,
know,
I mean, their football,
for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, their kids are very athletic. I know Coach Albright, for us, went and watched them play and said they were a super athletic group. I mean, they get some real athletes in there. So, like anything else, I'm sure it'll take some time to get the program up off the ground, but that's where they're headed.
Well, we'll talk about that coming up. And first, as far as the past week, we did mention going 9-0, and back on January the 3rd, a week ago this past Tuesday, you make a trip over to Chillicothe High School to the HAT Gymnasium, and you come out of there with a 4-point win, final 62 to 58. Kind of, I think the score was a little deceptive. You pretty much held on to a 10-12 point lead throughout most of the second half, and then a lot of fouling down the stretch, and you know they converted right. on that, and they had a couple of I think it was going into the half, they had a half court 3-point shot, but Chillicothe, very physical bunch, well coached, you know, saw the tape, and you got off to a slow start, but just give me your thoughts on the game.
I thought our kids really handled it well. It was a tournament-like atmosphere there, very big crowd. I thought Chillicothe came out like you expect the home teams to do sometimes, play with a lot of energy. And we got off to kind of a slow start. You know, I think maybe got down like 9-4 or something, but then got it going a little bit. And like you say, a kid made kind of a deep three there at the end of the first quarter. But then the second quarter, I thought was the quarter where we really sort of established ourselves. I thought we went from, I think, down 2 at the end of the first quarter to maybe up 7 at halftime. So the second quarter was good for us. And
defensively, you only gave up 7 points in the second
quarter. Yeah, so. I thought we were playing solid defensively early, but they hit some shots. We did go zone a little bit against them, which we don't play a lot, but the zone was effective at times. And yeah, I thought in the second half, like you said, we were able to kind of keep that 10-point or so lead. They made a little charge there at the end, but I just thought it was a really good win. You know, when you schedule games, we talked about it last week, and we're going to talk about Logan, you know, coming up here this week. But when you schedule non-league games like that, it's a challenge, and you're doing it for the challenge of getting better. And those types of games certainly are going to make you better.
For Vinton County as a team, shoot 48% from the field. Not quite as efficient from beyond the arc, because you guys only go 1 of 11 for 9%. Now, mm-hmm. I just got to know, because I noticed in the second half of that game, when I watched the tape, I couldn't make it, but it was like you quit shooting threes. Was that a topic at any time, or did you?
No,
it just happened.
I think Chillicothe just did a really good job of getting out and guarding us. I think that was, he even mentioned it in the paper that their game plan was sort of to take away the 3-point shot.
Right.
And they did, but we were able to really get to the rim a lot. You know, we scored a lot right out the basket. Our guards or guards dump into our post. And we still got a few good looks. Not a lot, because Chillicothe played pretty good deep. But we got a few good looks from three, and we just didn't knock the good ones down that we had.
Were those rims tight?
No, I didn't notice it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I have to ask our guys. I don't know.
Because, I mean, like you said, Naylon and Derek both had a couple of where it was the good look, squared up,
right.
had time to, you know, kind of cock it and get it up, you know, but it just looked like, kind of put me in mind of the gym up at Logan. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people, we always complain about, I've heard other people say, oh, those are tight rims. But
right.
At any point, like you said, as far as points in the paint, you had 48 points in the paint. You know, free throws, you shot, you were 11 of 14 for 78%. Rebounds, you guys had 28 to their 29. As far as assists for Vinton County, 10 assists, 10 steals, 1 block, 12 team turnovers for VC as opposed to 18 for Chillicothe. And in the individual scoring department, Tristan Bartow leads the Vikings with 18 points. Nathan Yates has 15. Derek Jones with 6. Jake Speakman and Bryce Dameron with 6 apiece. Eli Griffith with 2. And Nevin Yates with 1 point for the Vikes. So a good win, and, you know, Good competition, good non-league. They
right.
play a tough schedule. And I just got to get this in, because it's been bothering me all week that you got to know. But by the time the team bus got to Londonderry, were you just picking up dinner, or were you already home eating it?
No, I went out and got a bite to eat after
that game.
Of course.
What would you do, steak, seafood?
It takes me about after the bus leaves, it takes me about an additional 10 minutes to get out of there when I have to carry everything. I have to carry all the laundry.
Don't cry me a freaking river.
The tripod, the camera, the extension cord.
The medical box.
Yeah, everything.
Forms.
You know, and NJ's got to carry his wallet and
it's
get
tough.
Out to the bus. But
I'm sure they've warmed it up for NJ.
I would hope. I would hope.
Now, does anyone warm up the beast for you?
No.
Okay. Well,
no,
when
no,
you
no, the, I'm just hoping it starts.
When you only live like 2 miles from the school,
I don't let it warm up, because that's, you know, once it starts running, we just got to get the pedal down and go, you know, before that thing quits.
So you went out to eat while your poor, poor assistant coaches were cold and lonely in the dark winter night, traveling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You told me last week that apparently Coach Carpenter and Coach Kite were a little offended by what you said on the podcast.
I could only hope. I could only hope they
were. It's that time of the season where you guys really get a little chippy with each other.
I try to offend the best I can with them.
And it's just the stuff that whatever our average Joe fan thinks. And, you know, with the 9-0 record, they're coming out of the woodwork now. And, you know, stands are packed. And everyone's having love fest with the Vinton County Vikings. And actually, because of their ignorance and naiveness, actually admire you guys. That's what's so twisted. Now, if they could spend any amount of time at practice, or even more so, hear a tape conversation of what type of low, what we're going to use, stupid conversations you guys have about day-to-day topics in the coach's office. I don't know if we would like even have young children showing up to watch you guys play. It's pretty...
I can't remember what we were talking about the other night, and NJ goes, this is one of the dumbest conversations we've ever had. And I was like, boy, that says a lot. That says a whole lot.
I think your beautiful wife, Amy, one of her favorite words that I've heard her use to describe you and all of your friends, and I think that includes me, is idiots.
Yes, yes.
Our PA announcer.
She throws that around.
Bruce Knox says our sense of humor's sophomore-ish.
Yes, yes.
I guess that means we're immature.
Yeah, I hope.
Well, gotta have fun. Gotta have fun. Yeah. You gotta have fun, and you schedule all games such, or most of them, such that you get to go home, don't have to do your duties.
That's the idea.
And then whine about carrying a few items out. What it was. This past Friday night on January the 6th, the Jackson Ironman, a much improved, you said that, and I thought you were just being politically correct.
Yep.
Coach Morrow's got them going down there in Jackson, and from what I understand, they got some talent coming in the middle school ranks. The freshman class is pretty good, too. But as far as the varsity game, you guys do pull off a nice win. High-scoring affair for Vinton County is you had 90 points to the Ironman's 59. And again, they kind of came out and, first couple minutes, again, a kind of a slow start. And I don't know, is it that deal where I know I've said this many, many a times, kids don't seem to play well when they don't have school. Yeah. Or it's a concern of yours.
Well, it always is. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it may just be something that I created in my own mind to worry about. But I always think when you stay in your regular rhythm, we've started so fast this year in most of our games. And, I think the other night, and I don't even really include a slow start against Chillicothe because they're pretty good, and they were right at home and they were playing. And, the other night against Jackson, I thought we missed like two or three layups right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it threw those particular kids out of rhythm that missed them, and just as a team maybe threw us out of rhythm a little bit. I thought Jackson came out playing really hard defensively. That was just maximum effort. And, yeah, again, you got to give Coach Morrow a lot of credit. Like you said, he's got him ready to go and doing a good job over there. But I just thought we had to settle in. Luckily, our defense sort of held us in check. I think we only had like 4 points maybe about halfway through the quarter. And then once we got it going, it really got going fast because we scored about 43 points in the next 12 minutes. So, yeah. We had to get a couple things off our defense, see a couple shots go in, and then confidence you picked up a little bit.
Outscored them at all stops after the first quarter. In the first quarter, you outscored them 18-15. In the second quarter, you outscored them 29-14. The third quarter, you outscored them 22-14. In the final set, fourth quarter, you outscored them 21-16. For Vinton County team stats, you were 50%. From the field, 29-58. Shot a lot better from beyond the arc, as you were shot 54% from three-point land. 20 of 28, 71% team free throw percentage. As far as transition points, 18 for Vinton County as opposed to 0 transition points for Jackson. You had 21 points off of turnovers, 16 second chance points, and 34 points in the paint. For Vinton County, Tristan Bartow Nalen Yates led all scorers with 26. Tristan gets 24. Let's see here. Derek Jones has 9. Jake Speakman has 6. Bryce Dameron with 8. Seth Bledsoe and Kurt Vickers both 3 each. and also Anthony Mendez and Caleb Montgomery. Good to see him. And yeah. I thought it was very... It goes to show you how much the fans are into the season, but the ovation he got when he checked into the game there in the, I think, the second quarter. But Caleb's going to be a nice spark to have back. Not a big production. Yeah. He's not going to put up 20 points a game, but just his physicality, and he's a smart kid too, but very nice to see him back on the court.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he had a rough injury there toward the end of football. Really, really cost him his last few football games. He was having a really good year in football. And then, obviously, we didn't expect him to quite be out as long as he has been. We were hoping we'd get him back a little sooner. But, you know, it's like anything else. You got to make sure he's ready before you get him back in there. He's been practicing for a week or so, and we felt confident. So, yeah, we put him in. I thought he did real well. I thought he moved well. He landed well. When we looked for little things like, you know, coming down, how'd he land, mm-hmm. how'd he cut. All those things look pretty good. So hopefully he can start to get more and more time. And, yeah, you're right. He's going to help us on defense, rebounding. He's a tough physical kid. And so those kids always are nice to have.
What was it, a meniscus injury he had?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a meniscus injury. And it was actually a type of injury they could fully repair. But because they could fully repair it, it took a little more time to heal.
Right.
And that's kind of why he's been out longer. But the good news is, you know, he doesn't have a brace on or anything. He's playing. He's full go. So hopefully he'll stay healthy.
Is he taking any extra treatments, any kind of?
I think he's already pretty much done with his rehab. You know, our trainer, I'm sure, will keep an eye on him. And I think he's pretty well cleared to go.
It's good to see the trainer's back Friday.
Yeah. She's from Iowa, and she was gone for vacation or for, you know, Christmas break, vacation. Right. And it's good to have her back.
Well, heaven forbid we have a nosebleed out on the floor and assistant coaches have to assist.
Well, yeah, that's what you don't want to see.
Who hires these guys?
I don't know. You would think, as easy as I am to work with, I'd have my choice.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. low maintenance with you. Yeah, you got more mood swings than a little girl. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Matt Williamson, the head coach of the Hocking College men's basketball program. It's next as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back with the Viking Rumble podcast, presented by McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. Alongside Coach Matt Combs, this is Carl Knox, episode number 69 of the Viking Round Ball podcast, as the Vikings off to a nice 9-0 start in the early parts of their season. Time to get away from Viking basketball for a little bit and welcome in our guest straight from the metropolis of Nelsonville, Ohio. It's good to welcome in the head coach of the Hocking College basketball team, Mr. Matt Williamson. Matt, how you doing?
Doing good today. Doing good.
Well, we appreciate
you having me on, guys.
Nope, no problem. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. I'm probably getting ready for practice and got some things going on. But for our listeners, I know, and pardon our ignorance, because this is kind of new. You know, people like us that have been around for a while don't really assimilate Hocking College with college athletics, and I know you're a junior college. Is this the first or second Correct. Year that you've had basketball up there?
This is our second year. They kind of had an impromptu kickoff last year with athletics on campus, and I think they did a good job bringing JUCO basketball to Southeast Ohio. Southeast Ohio is not very familiar with JUCO basketball, but it's a very high level. Very high level of basketball, and you see a lot of the more city schools, especially city community colleges, that host this kind of basketball, just because they have such a large array of athletes to pick from, and usually don't see JUCOs kind of out in the middle of nowhere like we're at here in Southeast Ohio. School's been around since 1968, and it just decided, you know, we're going to start athletics and see if that brings a little bit of diversity to the campus here. And so they started last year and trying to make strides over our first, you know, 3 or 4 years here to build a nice traditional program here.
Yeah, Coach, you know, obviously starting a program, there's a lot of, I'm sure, a lot of hoops that have to be jumped through. And, I mean, it's not easy in terms of, you know, from an administrative standpoint, and then obviously trying to put your team together and coach. But now, just so I'm, you know, everyone's kind of clear, like, you guys, now, basketball-wise, did you guys get a new facility or did you just renovate one? How did that?
Well, they've always had a student center here on campus. Hockey is a little different than most of the other community colleges aren't allowed to have on-campus dorms. Most of them don't have student rec centers like we have here, but they have the student rec center here. And what we did last year was use the facilities that we had and kind of made do with what we had, and then kind of asked for some advice as we were, you know, playing some of the teams that we were going to expect to be in their conference, and just said, you know, hey, you've seen our facilities, you know, what do you suggest? What do we need to do to be up to par? And so, you know, they mentioned the floor, because we had a tartan floor last year, which is just kind of a rubberized cement topping. And we had that last year and played on it, and it did okay, but it's really kind of a it's not, I don't want to say it's not safe for the players, because it's safe, but it does a lot of wear and tear on the joints, especially the knees. So they mentioned the floor, so we got a brand new floor put in, actually by a guy that was an alumnus at Hocking College. He owns his own wood floor company, and they came in and gave us a nice new wood floor, and they just kind of did a few renovations to the student center here, and just kind of made it so you could put a crowd in there. We seat about 200 people, give or take a few, and it's a nice facility. I like it. It's probably one of the more interesting facilities in the conference, but it'll make do until, you know, they're kind of tossing around plans right now of maybe 5 or 6 years down the road having an entirely new facility that could even accommodate some tournament hosting here. So
Tell people a little bit about junior college and the idea behind it, in terms of guys. You know, I know you get some pretty high level athletes in terms of skill level that for whatever reason maybe aren't going D2, D1, wherever they could have went. And talk a little bit about that, and then I guess maybe just the recruiting process. I know, obviously, you know, you mentioned being where we're at, it's probably a little more of a challenge from a recruiting standpoint than if you're running a JUCO in the middle of Cleveland or Cincinnati or somewhere. But just talk a little bit about those things.
Sure. The JUCO basketball there's a few reasons that players could go JUCO. Number one, and I think the biggest reason, is grades. You'll have what you call non-NCAA qualifiers, which are guys that get below a 21 on their ACT or do not fall within the top, 25% of their graduating class. They have to meet at least one of those parameters. And also their GPA can come into play there. So I believe they have to have like a 3.0 or something like that, plus be the top 25%, plus get a 21 or higher on their ACT to be a total qualifier. If one of those drops below, they're still fine. They could have two out of the three, but if you only have one out of the three, you have a lot of trouble getting cleared to go play any kind of athletics at a Division I or Division II NCAA college. NAIAs, which we're probably familiar with here in Southeast Ohio, with Ryo being one of them, they're a little easier to get eligible for, that you don't have to have quite as high of ACT score and stuff like that. But what JUCOs basically do is they provide an opportunity for a player to go for 1 or 2 years and get their grades up and prove that, you know, they can make it at a bigger school. So that's kind of one route to go JUCO. Another one is, you know, with the popularity of AAU basketball, a lot of college recruiting comes down to who you know and what kind of tour you're on, as far as, you know, who do you get your exposure through? Do you go to the Adidas tournaments? Do you go to the Nike EYBL tournaments? Do you go to the Under Armour tournaments? You know, basically who's out there recruiting you, because there are different coaches that kind of prefer each circuit. And so if you're an athlete that doesn't get a whole lot of exposure to AAU events, high-level AAU events, and don't get a lot of coaches looking at you and recruiting you through those type of venues, it's a place where you can go to, you know, if you can compete at that level, you can go play at a JUCO, and a lot of the JUCO coaches have contacts in Division I or Division II schools and can find somewhere to place you. And then I think kind of the third reason you might end up in JUCO is, you know, guys that just kind of get lost in the mix. you know, there's, I mean, there's over 800 schools, I believe, in the state of Ohio alone. Everything from, you know, public schools to private schools. And so that's a lot of schools for college coaches to cover. I know last year I had probably 300 people on my recruiting list alone, and I only looked at maybe 20-some schools to recruit from. So, I mean, you can see how overwhelming numbers-wise it is just to get out there and try to find athletes. So, if you go the JUCO route, it's not just because you have low grades. It could be because you just didn't get much exposure as well. So it's kind of you see a little bit of everything at this level, but it's a very highly athletic, competitive venue to watch basketball. It's very fast-paced basketball. It's very athletic basketball. For instance, the team we just played on Saturday is out of Toledo area. They're Owens Community College, and they start 6'2", 6'5", 6'6", 6'6", and 6'6". So they've got a lot of high-level Division I athletes on their team that maybe don't have the grades or don't get the looks, and they're still trying to get there. So, and then all you got to do if you're a non-automatic qualifier academically is they just require you, the NCAA requires you to come to a two-year JUCO and take a set of, they'll give you like a list of general classes that you have to take, and you have to achieve a certain GPA through those list of classes. And once you do that, you become an NCAA qualifier, and all the D1s and D2s are free to recruit you. So,
well, Coach, with all that being said about the recruiting, and with obviously a brand new program, how many people do you have on your staff? I mean, I know it's not you probably don't right. have the size of an OU or an OSU staff.
Right.
And you're trying to coach a season and recruit. I mean, how many assistants do you have?
Sure. Right now I just have two assistants. The women's coach here is Coach Tuck Connor. He's out of Logan. Him and I are very good friends. We're very close. We've worked with each other on several occasions outside of before Hawking even started a program here. And he's kind of how I got the link up to get this job in the first place, is they were looking for somebody, and it was kind of last minute. And he gave me a call and asked me if I'd be interested. And I said I'd have to talk to the boss. So I talked to the wife and got it cleared, and here I am. So I have one assistant for my men's team, and then Coach Tuck, the women's coach, actually helps assist me as well. So most of the JUCO staffs here in Ohio, it just depends on the program and the amount of money that they devote to their athletic programs. But you'll see some programs that just have two coaches on the bench. You'll see other programs that have six coaches on the bench. I mean, it depends on how much they're willing to devote. Last year, where we were a first-year program, all of our guys were voluntary. All coaches at the school were voluntary. We all did it for free. They didn't pay us anything. So, you know, you can imagine that it's pretty hard to find a staff when you're asking everybody to work for free. So
right.
College athletics takes up a lot of time. I probably put in at least 60 hours a week every week last year during the season. So that's a lot to ask out of a staff. And I was fortunate enough that I own my own business and kind of travel around and do consulting around the U.S., basketball camps and such. So there's not a whole lot that I'm, you know, responsible for during the season. I do a lot of off-season stuff during the summer. So kind of freed up my time to be here and put in those kind of hours to help build the program to what we hope it can be.
Good.
So.
Well, before we get you out of here, I know you talked about a lot of your past, but you were from Meigs County, is that correct?
Yes, yeah. Played basketball in Meigs High School.
When did you graduate?
Graduated in 2002.
Okay.
And then moved on and went and played basketball down at the University of Rio Grande for a couple years. There they have a JV program. It was when Earl Thomas was down there as the head coach. Coach French was an assistant for him.
I play a lot of golf with Earl, so
okay.
You have my condolences.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like Earl.
Yeah, and Earl's a great guy.
The coaching staff was great when I went down there, so I really enjoyed my time down there for the 2 years that I was down there.
Okay.
And then after I left there, I actually got an opportunity. The whole reason I got into coaching was I went back to Meigs and coached the freshman team there at Meigs for 2 years. When Coach Travis Abbott, who's now the principal at Meigs High School, mm-hmm. was the basketball coach there, and he kind of got me addicted to it. So I guess I got to owe him for this. And then after my 2 years coaching there at Meigs, I went up to OU. I wanted to go on and finish a bachelor's degree. So I got married to my wife and started to dive into full-time college student up there, up here at OU, and ended up coaching the club team, club men's team here at OU, and had a very successful season with them. My first year up here, we actually made an appearance at Nationals and qualified for a Final Four appearance down in North Carolina, and guys were really good. It kind of helped that I had two Division I transfers on the club team, but hey, you know, I lucked out on that.
Take what
but,
you can get.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I kind of, you know, as I kept going up levels like that, I just got more and more interested in coaching, and ended up going to Coach John Rhodes at Ohio University. Mm-hmm. He was the assistant there under Tim O'Shea. That was O'Shea's last year there. I went to them in the spring and started talking to Rhodey about, you know, what are opportunities here at OU that maybe I could get involved with the men's basketball team here and help you guys out as a manager or whatever. And, you know, I was kind of looking on to maybe a career in it, or even looking at possibly when I graduated from OU being a grad assistant for them. And he kind of helped me kind of learn the ropes a little bit and introduced me to the current GAs that they had there, and they kind of, you know, helped me figure out how to basically work my way around a college program, and ended up working for the women's team as a head manager and film coordinator. Basically did the job of a director of basketball operations and a graduate assistant that last year that I was there at OU, and helped coach under Samika Randall there at OU, and then after that I kind of went back into coaching with Jeff Skinner at Athens for a year, and it's kind of been history ever since then. I started my own business and started going around doing a bunch of basketball camps and, you know, helping train teams and get teams prepared for the season and the off season, and made a bunch of contacts doing that, and then I ended up here, and I've been using those contacts to do a lot of my recruiting. Our players here at Hocking are from just about everywhere. We've got a kid from Georgia. We've got several kids from Texas. We've got some Michigan kids, some Ohio kids, some Indiana kids, some New York kids. They're just kind of from just about everywhere, so... Yeah. Really bringing some diversity to this area.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and for our listeners, they could probably get on the Hocking. What is the nickname of your team, or what the mascot?
We're the Hawks.
The Hawks.
So it kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Hocking Hawks.
Hawks. what is a hawk?
Oh. Like the bird.
Hawk. Like
the bird. Oh, hawk.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
like
hawk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was thinking hawk, like H-O-C-K. Hawks. Yeah. Okay.
H-A-W-K. Yep, okay. We're the Hawks. So okay. Our colors are royal blue and gold, kind of like the Golden State colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we play here at the Student Center. Not many people know about us, but anybody in the area is welcome to come out and see a game. We play, fortunate enough, we play on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so we're not on the same nights as like a varsity game that you'll go see a high school game. So,
well, maybe our listeners could get on your website. I'm assuming there's a schedule there that they can look and go up to Nelsonville and root on the Hawks.
Absolutely.
Hey,
they just go to the Hocking .edu website, and they can put /athletics or just search for athletics there on the Hocking website, and it should come right up, and they can go see a men's team game or a women's team game and help root us on.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate your time. We'll let you go, okay?
Absolutely. Right. Thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
No problem.
Day.
Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Coach Matt Williamson of the Hocking College Hawks.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's a new thing here to this part of the state, you know, in this area, in terms of JUCO basketball. That's kind of cool to listen to how that's taken off, and it can only be good for our area. So hopefully, either their hockey will have athletic programs in the future. Hopefully, it'll be a success and continue on.
Well, so one of these nights, I know you have a lot of free time this time of year, but one of these Wednesdays, you know,
It'd be fun to watch. Like I told you, Jared went over, Coach Albright went over and watched them once. So yeah, hopefully, we get to see him.
That would be good. I was going to ask him. I'm just curious as to if they do any recruiting. Like in this part of the state,
yeah,
it sounds like that's pretty athletic.
Yeah, I think he probably does, but like you say, you got to have the athletes to compete. So I'd have to see him play to see what. But it sounds like they got a lot of high level athletes.
Well, I tell you what, we're not going to take a break. We've got stuff to do, and I just don't want to edit tape for you anymore. I'm doing enough. We do have some games upcoming. Another busy week and another tough week at that. Although both games are at home, you got Logan coming in tomorrow night, the 10th, and then back into the TBC Ohio League play this coming Friday night as the Megs Marauders, who have kind of started off a little rough but have really turned their season around.
They so really have.
Two very formidable opponents. I know that Saturday, well, first, we got to mention this. I guess the rumor on the street is Coach Matt Combs now has a new talent and love that you got to experience for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
You are doing PA now?
Yeah. Bruce had to leave for a funeral, and we had about a quarter left, and I got on the mic, and everyone fell asleep, and several people started throwing things, and that's about how
throwing
it
things. I understand some of your assistant coaches were in the crowd.
I said someone said debut. I said that's my debut and my farewell. I said I should have just dropped the mic on the way out, but
that's not fun.
No, I mean it's
nerve-wracking.
I think it could be fun if it's your thing and you were good at it. I'm obviously not, so I'll just try to stick to coaching, I guess.
But anyhow, you had practice Saturday. Did you give the kids a day off yesterday?
Yeah, we didn't practice. We don't usually practice both weekend days. We try to pick one. And yeah, get ready for Logan's tough. I mean, they really, really good team. A lot of size.
A lot of size. Go with your – give me your spiel.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of size. They're young, but they're athletic. They shoot the ball well. Big, long, lanky kids, 6'3", 6'4", guard, and a 6'6", post. And, you know, they've had a really good season. They beat Fairfield Union. They're their only loss. They beat Unio at the beginning of the season. So they've had some good wins. They've played some teams, again, that kind of like Chillicothe.
They play some Columbus teams.
Yeah, Cincinnati Elder and Newark.
Pick Central or Pick North.
Yeah, teams that, like, nobody's, you know, typically going to beat from around here. So their record's, you know, a little deceiving. But they're really, really good. They're one of the best, you know, teams on our schedule. And
now, Chris Ryder's the new coach.
Yeah, he does a great job. He's got over 300 wins, been doing a long time.
Was he at Maysville before he
did this?
Okay.
Yeah, does a great job. And they're playing really well. And it'll be a challenge. I sound like I'm saying the same thing I did last week, but these games will get you ready for tournament. Hopefully that's the type of atmosphere. I assume it's going to be a really big crowd tomorrow night. So,
what kind of defense do they play predominantly?
They usually play man-to-man. They're an aggressive man-to-man team. They'll mix in some zone, but they have the athletes to do whatever they want. They press a little bit, so we'll have to be ready for everything.
Then we got Coach Ed Fry's Megs Marauders coming up Friday night for a triple. I'm assuming that's a triple.
Yeah, round. Yeah. And like you said, they started rough and playing better. They haven't lost in the league, and they were supposed to play Athens in a big league game the other night.
They
got canceled, and they went down to Tennessee and won some games over Christmas. Took a trip down there. I think they're 7-4 now, and I don't know if they play tomorrow night or not. I have to look and see, but they're playing really well. And
no, they do not.
So yeah, it'll be so they're going to come in here.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, they do. Tomorrow night they're at Southern.
Okay. So they're going to come in here, you know, with a good record and ready to go Friday night. It's a big league game. We haven't played a league game obviously since the 20th, I think, of December against River Valley. So back in the league play and. A lot of league games coming up over the next two or three weeks, so we're going to be busy.
Now check this out, Coach. I don't know who the AD done is at Megs, but he, I think, is a bad, maybe worse than ours. Their schedule, I mean, Megs started out 0-4, had losses to Gallia at home, to Warren Local, lost to Jackson, lost on the road at Oak Hill, and then... got their first win December the 13th against Megs. Since that time, they've beat Megs, River Valley, Nelsonville. They won the whole freaking tournament down in Tennessee, beat three pretty good, well, two teams from Alabama and one from Tennessee. Then they beat Eastern back on the 3rd. They were canceled last season. So they've had quite a break. But I mean, they're like the Road Warriors.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They got a game. Let's see. They're on the road at Southern. Then they got us on the road. Then Point Pleasant on the road. They play a lot of road games. I don't know how. Like I said, their AD must
probably means they'll
have a lot of home games next year.
Yeah, well, a lot of home games late in the year, possibly too. But
maybe Coach Fry doesn't have to ride the bus. Seems to be a trend.
Yeah.
So that should be a dandy both tomorrow night and Friday night. You got to love the crowds you're getting.
Oh yeah, they're huge. We had a really big crowd. Our biggest crowd of the season was against Jackson on Friday. And I look for tomorrow night to be big again.
So with that, you're not only the crowd's good. I know the kids like that.
Oh yeah,
the gates had to be good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's and it was kind of one of those things. The freshman game wasn't a lot of people there, and I thought, well, this is disappointing. I thought, it's cold outside, the weather's bad. Heck, by the tip of the varsity game, I don't think there was many seats to be at.
I'd say get there early tomorrow too.
Yeah, so. Logan is going to travel well, right. And I think a lot of a lot of the fact that you got such off to such a good start, you're starting to see a lot of basketball junkies from other school districts that are just going out to see a matchup like you and Logan.
Right.
They normally
right.
wouldn't come to Vinton County to watch a game, but they want to see if Vinton County is for real or
right.
what. But
right. I mean, I think you do get a lot of that. We got a little bit of that at Chillicothe last week too. I noticed some area schools over there just there to watch,
yeah.
So you do get.
Before we get out of here, it was a good Saturday to run into our old buddy as you were, did some PA work, but you one of your old, probably one of your best friends in the world, more like a brother, another brother, Jeff Miller, your former assistant. His Uniota Sherman's over to take on the Lady Vikes. They ended up winning. Uniota won by what, 7 or 8?
I think they won game. By 9. It was a fantastic game.
And I think Vinton County,
Vinton County hit 14 threes.
Yeah, I heard tied the girls' record.
Yeah, it was fast paced, a lot of scoring. It was a really fun game to watch. But yeah, it was fun catching up with Jeff. He's doing a great job with that girls' program over there. They're very talented. And they got a bunch of freshmen playing varsity right now. Their JV team's loaded. They're going to be good for a long time. And I've told you our girls are going to be good for a long time, too, because I really think the future's bright. That's going to be an interesting series going forward. But, yeah, it was fun to catch up with Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, and as close as you guys are back to your childhood, like I said, it's kind of one of those things. With Miller, you guys might go months without even talking to each other, but you're never going to distance yourself in terms of your friendship. But
right.
It's just, it's been, 5, 6 years since he's been here?
Yeah, he was here. I think. Yeah, his last year was 2000 and maybe 11.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been about that, and he's been girls coach there ever since. So it was it was great catching up. We talked for a little bit. Obviously, he had a game to get ready for, but
well, he had other things. He had to get a couple of hot dogs down in the fourth quarter of the JV game.
What are you going
to
do?
I have never seen you eat, let alone heard you talk about eating.
Actually,
within a 6-hour window of the game.
This year I have a couple times. I'm a little bit
I know you
a little less stressed. But,
Well, but it's I mean, I'm looking there and Miller's sitting there talking to me and you and Terry Hale, all of us just kind of, going over our lives and such, and Miller disappears and comes back with a couple hot dogs with mustard and a Mountain Dew and one of these varsity girls comes out and is like, "Coach, are you coming?" He's like, "Yeah, just go ahead and stretch out. I'll be in there in a little bit."
And I'm like, nothing shakes you.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, "Hey, the sun's still going to rise tomorrow. I need my food." So anyhow, good week. Good luck to you this week with Logan and, the Megs Marauders coming. We're in a 4-game home stretch right now.
Yeah.
1 down, 3 to go. It's good.
It was. It is. It's fun to be at home, especially right here in January, and when things kind of get to be a grind a little bit. I have a few home games, so hopefully we'll enjoy it while we got it.
Well, we got a big thaw coming up this week, so we're going to get above freezing for a few days. Got to love that. Can't have that.
Probably have snow in March this year. So we'll say.
Don't say that, man. Don't do that. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.